Good morning, everyone. Thank you for that reading. This is the next talk in our series on Peter and living a life of adventure. So we've just heard about Jesus and Peter walking on water, and this is a pretty amazing story, which should be quite an inspiration to us, but also quite a challenge. The theme of today's talk is rock the boat, or jumping out of the boat. It's about getting that call from God to do something and how we react to it. It may be a challenge we face or something we desire, as we see with Peter, who wants desperately to be with Jesus. And there are a few areas I want to look at. So first, expectation. What are our expectations of a life lived in faith? Catherine and I watched Mrs. Brown, the film about Queen Victoria, last weekend. And there's an expression used in that film about an expectation of contentment. And I think if we live in faith, we should have an expectation of contentment from the peace that and love that we have from God. But, you know, what else do we have an expectation of? Do we expect that we'll have an easy life, or that life will be safe? I don't know if there are any fans of the TV series Friends, which came out in the mid-90s and is apparently enjoying a resurgence 25 years ago. All the episodes started with the one with, or the one where, for example, the one with the Thanksgiving dinner. If the stories in the Bible were described in this way, I don't think there would be one called the one where all the believers get an easy ride, or the one where they all sat back in comfort, or the one where they took no risks. We see throughout the Bible that the Jews and then the followers of Jesus get persecuted, imprisoned, killed, and much more. They face all manner of challenges and have to take risks. But we see what happens when they trust in God and what happens when they don't. So rather than an easy life and a life of safety, we're told we will face challenges and troubles. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We're also told in Matthew 12 that life is a race that we must run and must persevere. As Eric Liddell said in Chariots of Fire, after he mentions this verse, life is hard. So first of all, as believers, we need to expect that we will be challenged in life and that we will not get to live a life in a comfort zone. Rather, we will be called to get out of the boat as Peter was and to face challenges and to walk on the stormy waves. But the comforts and the peace come from loving and trusting in the Lord. Remember that description Catherine gave last week of how an eagle locks its wings in a storm and then soars over the storm on the hot air. I'm obviously giving this talk as we're all in lockdown under the threat of coronavirus. I think it's fair to describe the waters as choppy at the moment, at the very least. And for many of us, the boat may not be there for us to stay in, even if we wanted to. If I'd been giving this talk in person, or if we were able to show videos and know that they would work, I'd be showing you an extract from the film Forrest Gump, where the star, Forrest, played by Tom Hanks, is on his shrimp boat and sees his old commander from the Vietnam War on the jetty. He looks hard to see it's him, but when he sees it is him, he then runs off the boat and swims ashore to greet him. It's very much how I imagine sort of Peter getting off the boat in that verse when he sees Jesus on the shore cooking breakfast. He's desperate to be with him and he just runs off the boat and wants to see him. But in the clip, we then see a few seconds later that the boat crashes into another jetty. For many at the moment, the boat, you know, just may not be there or may be sinking, and we have no option but to jump into choppy waters. So the second area I'd like to look at is God. And you know, sometimes when we hear that call to jump out of a boat, I think we feel or imagine it more as a push in the back. And perhaps it feels a bit like the story in the Bible where the devil tries to get Jesus to jump off the temple wall. I don't think the story tells us exactly where the devil is in relation to Jesus, but he's obviously there. So I'm going to assume that he was up there on the temple wall with him, telling him to jump off. Those sorts of situations rarely feel good. It reminds me of the high diving boards in public swimming pools where you used to get a group of people up there, usually boys, goading each other to jump. But some of them are only there trying to gather others to jump, and there's always the secret, or perhaps not so secret, desire to see it all go wrong and see them do an excruciating belly flop. I remember once seeing that happen until the person doing all the goading was the only person left up there and the lifeguards put the chain on so he couldn't come back down. And we watched Diary of a Wimpy Kid recently with the kids, and there was a similar scene. The lead character, a teenage boy, was on a diving board and wanted to get down, but a little girl was blocking his way and goading him to jump. inevitably it's ended up with him jumping and somehow his trunks came off and ended up on a wall, a bit like the Mr. Bean sketch with a diving board. But that's not what God's like. God is our Father who is there for us and loves us. And if he calls us to jump, he will be there to catch us and be right beside us. As a wedding present, my brother gave Catherine and me a Charlie Maxey print of the prodigal son, where he's written over the picture of God the Father holding and hugging the son. And one of the things written down is how the story should be called, the story of the running father. The father who, when he saw his boy return, he started running. Notwithstanding that this would have been culturally inappropriate. But when he saw him, he hugged him and kissed him and held him close. And again, one of the kids' Bibles has this picture for the prodigal son of parable of God running to greet us. And so a hard life, persevering through troubles, is not all that we are promised. And if it was, I don't think the Christian faith would be a particularly attractive proposition. The other bits of the promise, and the most important bit, is that in those challenges, God promises he will be with us and that he is for us. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. And in this verse here, as Peter and the other disciples are in the boat in the storm, we see that Jesus is there in the storm and on the water with him. And Jesus says, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And we see in the story that as soon as Peter starts to sink, he calls out to Jesus and he is there for him. And immediately he reaches out his hand. So we're not alone in the challenges we face. Rather, Jesus is with us as we persevere through the hardness of life and the challenges that come our way. Not only is God with us, but we can depend on him. We can lean on him. I was listening to a U2 song a few months back, and there's a line saying, "Stop helping God across the road like a little old lady." I won't sing it. I'm not saying anything about little old ladies who, if they've lived a life of faith, are frequently spiritual giants, and I would certainly use that description for many in this church. But the one thing I will say is that physically, I wouldn't lean on a little old lady and put all my weight on her. Whereas we can do that with God. We can depend on him, put our weight on him and trust in him completely. He can take it. Last week in the prayer time, Mary said we must stand on God's promises. And that's exactly it. He promises us so much and we can depend on that. And in a similar vein, we need to keep our eyes fixed on God. In the story, Peter runs into trouble when he takes his eyes off Jesus and instead looks at the wind. Or in the Message version, it says that he looks beneath him and there's the sort of churning waves. Peter starts to look at the troubles he is facing rather than keeping his eyes on Jesus. So let's keep our eyes fixed on God, who he is, what he has promised us, rather than on the choppy waters that we're facing. God is a God of great plans. He has plans to prosper us, not to harm us. And he wants to partner with us and to walk with us. As we see with Peter and Jesus, they walk across the lake together. God wants to use us in a broken world and in challenging times such as these. He will not forsake us, and we're told that we can do all things through him. So moving on then to jumping out of the boat. What are the boats in our own lives? What are our sort of comfort zones that we're reluctant to leave? In the story, we see that Peter is facing a storm and he has a choice. He can depend on Jesus to keep him safe, or he can depend on the boat. What do we put our faith in to keep us safe? Perhaps it's our job, money, material things, or education, intellect, physical ability, good looks. I'm not saying that about myself. There may be other things. Each one of those has put, may well have been affected by recent events. I remember Catherine and I once went to see a financial advisor in London. He berated us because we didn't have a pension and hadn't bought a house yet, even though we were about 32 or 33. And he sent us this report in which he said we admitted we'd been financially reckless, even though we did no such thing. He contrasted this with his own position, where he had a sizable pension fund. He wasn't married, but had a girlfriend who had a child. It was very clear he didn't regard the child as his child. He had a holiday home in Spain. He lived in Kent. I think he had a swimming pool, and he expected to be able to retire in his early 50s. It was clear that his possessions and his pension fund were the rock on which he sort of built his life, and he was relatively free from commitment. What about our physical health and ability? Perhaps we sort of rely on that. Last year at Stroud Church, Tom was talking about the Holy Spirit. You may remember that series, and I suffered the indignity of my leg giving way during worship and falling over, which was certainly quite a humbling experience and made me realise that I do take sort of physical health and ability for granted. And many of us do face physical infirmity and health issues. And obviously, at the moment, we see that coronavirus is affecting everyone. You know, the young, the old, and no one is immune from it. You know, or perhaps we rely on other gifts that we have, and we sort of rely on that to get us through life. And what stops us getting out of the boat? Perhaps we just don't like change, or perhaps we're risk averse. Of course, the very fact that God calls us to do something should be enough. Mike Pilavachi talks about Jesus' first miracle, where he turned water to wine at the wedding. And what his mother said to the servants was simply, "Do what he says." So I could have cut short this talk and just said, obey God. When you get that call from him to do something, just do it. Which is of course true, but so often, rather than focusing on that simple fact and keeping our eyes on Jesus and what the Lord is calling us to do, we focus on the risks, and so we decide to stay in the boat. And I think we think that if we start sinking when we get off the boat, that will be the failure. But the failure is not the sinking as much as not getting out of the boat at all. When we look round the Chase School in Malvern with Ava for an open evening about a year and a half ago, they had a great poster saying something along the lines of, if you don't start the race, there is a 100% chance you won't win it. When we take Purdy out for a walk, she occasionally sees a bird or a group of birds all the way across the field. And you can tell that she wants to get one of them, and she sets off after them and she goes all out. She is sprinting as fast as she can. And of course, we know that she's never likely to get one. And, you know, sure enough, as she gets, she comes within sight of them, they fly off. She still carries on for a bit. But the fact she doesn't know that, and it doesn't stop her. She chases after them as hard as she can. And one day, who knows, she may get one. I was taking her out for a walk last week in the orchard near the allotments, and she was running around, and I suddenly saw her chasing a pheasant, and she was only about a metre away from it. So who knows, maybe she will get one one day. And Mike Pilavachi says that people often see this story about Peter and Jesus as about Peter's failure, but he doesn't see it that way. He says that Peter trusted Jesus enough to get out of the boat, and yes, perhaps he wobbled and started to sink, but in that sinking, he turned to Jesus. So the real failure is not the sinking, but rather not getting out of the boat at all. The title to the NIV version of this story, rather unfairly, I feel, just says Jesus walks on water, whereas Peter also walks on water and they walk together. The Message version just says walking on water, which I feel is a little fairer. So we need to, even if we feel afraid at getting out of the boat, we need to face that fear and step out of the boat. As Tim Hughes said last week in the talk we listened to, quoting someone else, if your vision doesn't scare you a bit, then there's a good chance it's insulting to God. The Bible frequently tells us not to fear and not to be afraid, and it's right that we shouldn't go on fearing a situation or be paralysed with fear, or should not do something because we're called to do because of fear. But that initial feeling of fear and being forced to call on God and trust in him is a useful thing, because once we focus on God, on his love and his provision, that perfect love casts out the fear. So rather than giving in to fear, we must learn to embrace that sort of that facing the fear and that feeling of stepping out of the comfort zone by trusting in the Lord. Whenever I'm due to appear in court, there's always nervousness before you stand up. You worry you won't have thought of something. You worry you'll call the judge dad, or something will go wrong. You'll have forgotten to do your flies up or something like that. But you get used to facing it and knowing that actually you've prepared, that you're doing what you're meant to be doing, and you trust in God that it's all in his hands. And I can't imagine that even experienced high divers don't still get nervous as they stand on the edge and each time and look down, but they get used to confronting that fear and jumping. Whereas if we don't embrace the fear and push through it in faith, not only are we denying God's call to leave the boat, but we're also helping the devil. I don't know if anyone has read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It's a series of letters between an apprentice devil called Wormwood and his uncle Screwtape. The devil doesn't really care if you call yourself a Christian. He cares about whether you do anything about it and whether you act on what God is saying to you and calling you to do, and whether you believe his promises. And we see that the devil will try to distract you or tell you lies to stop you doing that. In other words, the devil wants you to stay in the boat, to stay in your comfort zone and not to answer God's call. T. to use a rugby or football analogy, it's a bit like having the ball in your own half. You can have 100% of the possession of the ball, but as long as you're in your own half, you won't score anything. So I find it interesting in the story that when Jesus calls Peter to walk on the water, he does it when the waters are choppy. And the Message version of this passage tells us it was 4 a.m. in the morning, so it was quite possibly still dark. I have to say, if I was going to try to walk on water, I'd probably want to start on flat water, and I certainly wouldn't want to do it in the dark. So, you know, maybe a small stream where even if I don't manage to walk on water, I'll just be ankle deep in water. You know, you might get wet socks, but your life won't be in danger. But no, Jesus calls Peter to walk on the waves in the dark. I'm obviously, as I said, giving this talk as we're all in lockdown from coronavirus, and so for many of us, the boat may not be there for us to stay in. Perhaps our business can't survive lockdown. Perhaps our health or that of our family members is failing. Perhaps our pension pots or investments are suffering. Whole number percentage drops on a daily basis. And I think back to that financial advisor. So, but stepping out of the boat, there's a real dignity in that dependency. If we make ourselves vulnerable and love and depend on God. And if we allow ourselves to trust in God, we allow our faith to increase as we see him fulfill his promises. Whereas if we just say we believe, but don't, when it comes to it, actually trust in him and depend on him, then our faith is effectively static and stagnant, and we're just playing with the ball in our own half. And it will eventually peter out, no pun intended, as we start to doubt that God is real and we start to ask, well, what's he actually done for me? The most recent area in which we've had to be dependent on God is the business. Malvern Law. So I felt a strong calling to set up the business and to leave a well-paid job as a lawyer with a law firm in London, which obviously provided a certain amount of financial security. We then, as you probably know, started Malvern Law in July 2018. I had hoped when we started that several clients would come with me from my old firm. And one client had said he would certainly come. I'd also had indications I could stay involved on various matters I was working on, but neither of those things came to pass. I'd had some new matters in, and some of them which were really encouraging and felt like great provision from God, but there wasn't enough to hit our break-even point for the business and for our household expenses. We had some savings, but by late October 2018, we'd all but depleted those. And did we doubt? I didn't doubt what I'd been called to do, but did I wonder whether we would get cases in and whether God would provide and whether we would start to sink? Yes, I think I probably did. But either way, we prayed and God answered those prayers. Catherine, one time I remember, had a rare picture of rainfall. She always says she doesn't get pictures when she prays. And she also had the name of a friend of mine from university who was a lawyer in the British Virgin Islands. And I think this was late October 2018, as I recall, and very shortly afterwards, I was contacted by that friend who had a piece of work to refer to me. And by mid to late November, we'd had received a number of other matters in. It did feel like it was pouring cases in for a few weeks, and those cases saw us through to Christmas and beyond. On one memorable Monday evening for us, we prayed again, and Catherine was having a think through her contacts from university, and she thought of various names, including an Italian lawyer she'd known from when she studied in Strasbourg. So she messaged him on Facebook, and he responded immediately with a potential piece of work, which was right in the sweet spot of the type of cases I want to do. So God is a God who loves us and on whom we can depend. So in some ways, this talk is the wrong way around, because as I've said, you know, I've tried to explain, you know, why we should jump out of the boat. But, you know, the overriding reason is, as every parent says to their child, because he says so. You know, we're called to obey God. We don't get to pick and choose when to obey and when not to. And if we hear that call to jump, then we need to jump then and there. And obedience means doing it. Once you're certain what God's calling you to do, because sometimes discerning precisely what God's call is can take time. But once you hear that call, then, you know, we need to jump out of the boat. We've taken the kids on a ferry on various occasions, and I'm not a huge worrier or helicopter parent or anything like that, but one thought that does get me worried is that they might fall over the side. And what I find when we go out on deck is that I'll be worrying about this, and I'll pick a spot and then start counting, just imagining that if they'd fallen off and were there, how quickly would I have to jump and how far would I have to swim? And after just seconds, as the ferry ploughs on, that spot is a good distance away. So I know that if I have to jump in, you just need to do it. So next, we want to identify what is God, calling each of us to do. What boats is he calling us to jump out of? Claire's been inspired to start a newsletter series called Life in Lockdown, where we will hear from someone different each week what God is doing in their lives and how we can share hope with others. And this week we have Michelle's wonderful and powerful testimony of working in a COVID-19 ward and her FAB acronym, Faith, Act, Bravery. If you haven't read it yet, please do. Claire sent the email on Thursday afternoon. As I said, it's just such a powerful testimony. And Michelle said that when she was first told she would have to see a patient in that ward, she froze with fear. But she prayed, and despite feeling scared, she trusted in God's protection and saw the patient. She trusted in the Lord, she jumped out of the boat, and she faced down that fear. As Esther was told in chapter 4, verse 14, we were called for such a time as this. If God puts us somewhere, then it's for a reason. So as we face the challenges and troubles we're told to expect in life, particularly now in these times and in this current crisis, what are we being called to do by God? What comfort zone is he calling us to leave, and what waves is he asking us to walk on? For each of us, this will be different. It may be about our circumstances, our job, or it may be about the people in our lives. If they don't know God, then he will be calling us to step out and take a chance and tell them. If there's sin in our lives, God will be calling us out of that, an experience I've had recently. And in these times, as we face the challenges of lockdown and coronavirus, what is God calling us as a church and as individuals to do? Whatever the boats are in our own lives, let's be obedient to God's call and depend on him, knowing he's a Father who loves us and has great plans to prosper us, to challenge us and to bless the world around us. So let's step out of the boats and keep our eyes on him.